So my name is Ron Zong, and next I'm going to talk about something against carbon stabilization in the padded soils. So first, I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Professor William Howard, and NIFA for the funding support. Some backgrounds. So the Sacramento sun walking data is located in the north of California, and it provides the most productive land in California, and it has two rivers. Sacramento River runs from the north to the south, and the San Joaquin River runs from the east to the west. So it also provides the water for 25 million of Californians and waters for 3 million acres of irrigated agricultural farmlands down in the south. So historically, it's a tidal marsh. This is how it looks like. So it allows large amounts of carbon to accumulate in the soil. However, during the late 1800s, those areas was drained and converted to agricultural production. And since then, there's tons of various environmental problems pass up. One of the most is the soil subsidence, which initially resulted from the physical compaction of the soils and then followed by microbial degradation of organic carbon from the solid to the gaseous. And oxidation of organic soil also results in extensive greenhouse gas emissions, primarily as the carbon dioxide and nitrous oxide. And another issue is the degraded water quality, because the decomposition of organic carbon also releases large amounts of DOC and other chemical compounds with degraded water quality. I will show some pictures later on. So this is a typical landscape in the Delta. As you can see, this is the farmlands. So the soil oxidation has resulted in the low elevation of these typical farmlands, and it allows miles of levees to protect those farmlands from flooding. At the same time, because the low elevation, it also requires a periodical pump up of those drainage water from the field, so the field operation can be carried out and the crops can be grown. But as you can see here, low drainage water always has large amounts of dissolved organic carbon, which give it a brownish color. So the export of those DOC, it will cause the redistribution of carbon in a regional scale, and also degrade water quality to the drainage water, looks how it looks like. So our project is trying to demonstrate rice cropping system to mitigate past agricultural impacts. So the idea is we are going to convert all the soils back to its water saturated conditions, so we can slow down the decomposition and also promote carbon sequestration. However, because under the anaerobic condition, the decomposition is less efficient, so you're going to produce various of intermediate metabolic products, or another DOC. And also, we know that rice paddy is a significant source for methane. So what we are trying to understand is to how the different type of managements could affect the carbon, soil carbon dynamics affects the carbon lost as the DOC or methane. So one of the management is the residue incorporation. It is how it's like. So after the rice has been harvested, they will chop off all those rice residues and then leave it above ground and then incorporate into the soil the next season. So we know that incorporation of rice straw will increase the methane emissions. This figure shows that the methane flux from rice field without straw incorporation in blue, and with a standard straw incorporation, regular amount of residue in red, and a double amount of residue incorporation in green. So as we can see here, rice residue incorporation increased the methane emission. However, the source of methane emissions can be either come from direct decomposition of rice straw, or can be direct decomposition of soil organic matter, or the priming effect, we don't know. So we are interested to try to publish in a different various source for this methane and DOC production. So what I do here is I use three soils with different soil organic matter contents for 50%, 6%, and 2%. And we incubate the soil with 13C label residues for 32 days, and then use the stable isotope mass balance method to calculate different source for methane and DOC productions. But know that the 15% carbon soil has the highest extractable DOC concentration, And also, it has the highest value of overall concentration of different electron acceptors. So this tells basically, it's assumed that if you do the light incubation, we are going to see higher CO2 production in the 15% carbon soil, but less methane emission in these soils. We'll see that. So we quantify and punish the DOC production during the 10, 22, and 32 days. And this is how it looks like. The red line indicates the CO2 production in the soil with residue. So first, you can see 2% soil seems that has the lowest DOC concentration when it compares to the other two. It's still a difference in the scale. And second, in all soils, it's clear straw incorporation increases the DOC production. Even the difference is less difference is the difference is kind of minimized, no, excuse me, diminished during the last day of the incubation, you know, 2% and 6% soil. So we follow partition in the production of the DOC here, the red lines, into two pools. One is the soil organic matter derived production, that's the red dashed line, and the directly decomposition of the rice straw in the green dashed lines. So basically, this tells in 2% soil, we have 60% to 75% of DOC is come from the soil organic matter, not from the straw. However, in 6% and 15% soil, we see more than 95% of the carbon is come from the DOC, not from the straw. Second, if you compare the DOC production in the residue added soil with the control, less the amount of DOC has been planned due to the addition of rice residues. So in the 2% soil, we see, compare these two, there's a clear priming of the DOC production. However, this priming is getting weak during the 32 last day of experiment. However, in the 6% carbon soil and 15% carbon soil, see, this is still a clear and high priming effect in these soils. So we tell a 15% carbon soil as an example, take a close look at how the DOC dynamics during the incubation. So this is the iron-3 concentration during the incubation and iron-2 on this side. So the x-axis, that's the iron concentration, y is the DOC concentration. So over time, we see the decrease of the iron-3 concentration. However, on the other end, we see an increase in iron-2 concentration, means what? There's an ongoing of like iron reduction. But at the same time, we see that the increase the iron-2 concentration, we're going to see increase the release of DOC concentration. That means what? DOC seems that it's coupled to the iron reduction. So we know that iron-3 can co-precipitate with iron. So this could be true as, so during the incubation, iron-3 getting reduced to iron-2, so those DOC original bond to iron-3 get released to the soil solution. CO2 production, again, is clear. When it's with the residue, that's the green line, increases CO2 production. That makes sense. However, if you look at this one, in a 15% carbon soil, we see a low carbon CO2 production rates, but we see the higher carbon production rates in the 2% soil. Note that in 15% soil, we see the higher DOC concentration, but at the same time, we see a higher concentration of value of electron acceptors. Means what? Theoretically, we must be see higher CO2 production in the 15% soil when you compare the 2% soil. However, this is the other way. So this could be plausible because the DOC in the 15% carbon soil is not really labile, and it could be not easy to decompose. Similarly, we see a lower methane production in the 15% soil when you compare the 2% soil. But again, we know that 15% soil has a higher amount of electron acceptors, so which will suppress the methane production. This makes sense. And also, with the straw addition, we see a higher methane production in all the soils. And we further partition this production of the methane in the residue amended soil. So the top figure demonstrate the percent of the methane production derived directly from the rice straw. So basically, it's about 55 to 50% of the methane is directly derived from soil organic matter. So remember that there's more than 95% of the DOC is derived from SOM, but we only see 45% of the methane come from the soil organic matter. So this again suggests it seems that those DOC cannot directly decompose all the way to provide substrate for methanogenesis. And the bottom figure shows the priming effect on the methane production, and for all the soils different, especially in a 15% carbon soil with pretty much still minimum amount of priming, and maybe because there's a high amount of electron acceptors. But in a 2% carbon soil, we see a nearly increase in the methane priming, but name they know is plateau. So this tells us that even with the same amount of carbon, straw into the soil, we might expect a different response from different soil because they have a different electron acceptor or have a different label ability to dissolve organic carbon. So it's not easy to predict or something like that. However, we see there's a really clear correlation between the priming effect and the degree of residue decomposition. The x-axis here, that's the percent of the residue decomposition, and the y-axis, that's the priming effect. So basically, if you had a more straw decomposition, you're going to see more likely to see higher priming effect. This tells us that, but if with the higher DOC concentration, you cannot see the higher priming effect. So maybe because, again, this is the carbon quality. So it seems that the priming on the methane, at least in this soil, is driving by the availability and discredibility of the carbon substrates. So to sum up, we all know that methane is the last step of the anaerobic decomposition. So initially, you're going to see that soil organic matter converted to the dissolved phases so they can be used by microbes. And then those DOC are going to convert it to the CO2, hydrogen, dihydrogen, and acetate. And this is the substrate for methane production. However, when there's the existence of different viral electron acceptors, they're going to outcompete the methanogens for this substrate. And then you're going to suppress the methane production. So but when you're adding the residues, first, the direct decomposition of the rice residue, you're going to provide extra substrate and then allow the carbon flow to the methane production and promote the reduction of those viruses, promote the reduction of electron acceptors like those. And there's a really nice correlation between the amount of residue decomposition and the methane priming effect. And second, the residue seems like can be directly dissolve the DOC from SOM even through the physiochemical process like exchange of absorption or dissolution. And also in the 50% soil, it seems that there's a couple of the iron reduction. So the incorporated residue is going to promote iron reduction and it's going to release those DOC from the cryptate. It's going to create from the DOC and iron. Anyway, it seems that when you added residue into the soil, you're going to promote iron reduction, and iron reduction will release those DOC to the soil solution. However, it seems that these two pathways, the DOC from these two pathways, is not really going to cause the priming and the methane production. Instead, this one is a direct connection. So, it's something to do with the DOC quality, maybe more label or something like that. So, with that, I'd like to take any questions you may have. Thanks for your attention. Yes.
So if providing these alternative electron acceptors, is there one you would think would be less environmentally harmful? Sulfur produces very stinky sulfide and nitrous oxide for nitrogen.
This is the question reduction.
Yes.
So that nitrate will be the first one, and then followed by iron, and then followed by sulfate. So those microbes, because the reduction of the nitrate coupled to the oxidation of the organic provide more energy, so those microbes would lack it. So theoretically, if there's a presence of the nitrate, you are not going to see the iron reduction, you are not going to see the sulfur reduction or methane production. So once the nitrate is gone, you're going to see the iron reduction. So once iron is gone, you're going to see the sulfur reduction. Once sulfur is gone, you're going to see the methanogenesis. But that's just theoretically, but in the real world, no, because the variability of those chemicals and microbes, you're going to see them happen at the same time, most likely. Yep.
Okay, thank you very much.